A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sim. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display? I eventually had to go down to the cellar. That's the display department. With a torch. The lights are probably gone. So had the stairs.
You are just number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 162. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and today we are talking about Dirk Gently. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello.
Dirk Gently was a series of 4 one-hour episodes produced and broadcast by the BBC in 2010 through 2012, so it's quite a recent show for us. And it was based on the characters and ideas and some of the storylines from the Douglas Adams novels that featured the character Dirk Gently.
And we've got a humorous detective show here with science fiction elements and all with that rather sort of distinctive Adams flavor, I think, Brian.
Yes, absolutely. So let's get into a bit of the setup on this show.
So we have Dirk Gently, who runs his rather strangely named Holistic Detective Agency. And if you're familiar with the books at all, you'll know that this is based on Dirk Gently's belief in the fundamental interconnectedness of all things and how he can use that to solve crimes in his own rather baffling and often humorous way.
Yes, absolutely. And it often means that he's relying on random chance to direct his investigations. But because everything's interconnected, he can always get to the bottom of things no matter what direction he's going in. And he brings his unusual methods to bear on some suitably very much unusual cases.
Yes, absolutely. 4 very unusual cases he's got to deal with her using his strange methods and combining that with his rather, shall we say, eccentric approach to billing for his services and to money in general and his rather interesting approach to paying his own bills.
Yes, indeed.
And he operates out of an extremely chaotic office where he is in a sort of running battle with his secretary Janice, who refuses to leave until he pays her, and he won't pay her. So their relationship is rather fraught and interesting, to say the least. And as we've said, we've got these 4 single episodes, standalone cases. I suppose there's some developing themes, particularly between our 2 main characters we'll get to in a minute. But 4 individual cases for Gently to solve.
Yes, there is a little bit of development with the characters, but really there are 4 separate standalone episodes. Now, getting into the characters, Dirk Gently himself, played by Stephen Mangan, a rather eccentric character who hints at his checkered university career and, of course, mentions that all detectives should drive a classic car. In his case, it's sort of brown or beige, very old, decrepit Austin Princess, which he describes as his loyal servant and so on.
That's right. And if you're familiar with British cars, you'll know that the Austin Princess has got a terrible reputation as being one of the worst cars this country ever produced. And yet here he is, Dirk Gently, in love with his rather wrecked car, which lets him down from time to time, or perhaps more often than not, we should say.
Yes, he's frequently fighting with this car. A very fun, eccentric character.
Okay, and then we've got our other sort of leading character in these 4 shows, Richard Macduff, played by Darren Boyd, Dirk Gently's university friend and his business partner, although they quibble about that constantly through the 4 shows as to whether he's a partner or an assistant. And it's Macduff's tricky relationship with his own girlfriend, Susan, which sort of sets up the first case and brings Dirk gently back into their lives. Somebody that they knew at university, and here he is back again in all his eccentricity.
Yes, that's right. And Macduff sort of gives us the counterpoint to Dirk Gently. You have the very eccentric character and the very grounded character. Richard Macduff's girlfriend, as we mentioned, was Susan, played by Helen Baxendale.
Yes, that's right. Sorry, another university friend, Richard's long-suffering girlfriend. She's a doctor. And as I've said, the sort of slightly tricky relationship between Macduff and Susan is one of the sort of introductions to the Dirk Gently character, because he actually witnesses Richard Macduff breaking into his own flat in order to try and delete an email to his girlfriend that he wishes he hadn't sent. And that's how they sort of all meet up again.
Yes, that's right. The tension between the couple, Richard and Susan, is very much present and sort of brings a lot of humor to things. Inspector Jilks, played by Jason Watkins, is the police inspector that, in classic detective fashion, Dirk Gently is always butting antlers with, and there is a tense sort of love-hate relationship there, and he sort of brings on the tension very well in that. Jason Watkins, of course, I remember very well from Being Human. He was enjoyable in that, and he's good in this as well.
Yes, he is, actually. It's a rather fine performance here as the chief inspector, who, again, is often exasperated by Dirk Gently, but does it with a certain good humour himself. So, yeah, lovely performance. And then one other sort of main character, we've mentioned her already, Janice, the secretary, played by Lisa Jackson, Dirk Gently's long-suffering employee. And whenever they walk through her office to head into the main office, she usually is cursing or throwing items of office stationery at Dirk Gently's back and making demands to be paid. And all this sort of open hostility actually conceals the fact that she's secretly rather taken with Dirk Gently.
Yes, and again, all this intense tension is played to be funny and works very well. It's quite good.
Yes, it is. They are. It's all beautifully done by the five leads and leads to lots of humour.
So the pilot episode deals with Dirk Gently at first investigating the disappearance of an old lady's cat. And in doing this, he discovers Richard Macduff breaking into his girlfriend's apartment to steal her laptop. And, of course, this is to retrieve an email that he wishes he had not sent her.
That's right, as we say. And this is brings them back into contact with Dirk Gently, who I think the last they knew of him was when he was being thrown out of university, I believe. And then, while this is going on, Gently and Macduff make a discovery in a nearby warehouse, which literally has explosive consequences. And there is, in fine form, our heroes running away from an explosion very early on in the first episode.
Yes, that's right, of course.
And, of course, we've got the fundamental interconnection between everything. So, there is a connection between Henry the missing cat and another character, Gordon Way, a millionaire businessman behind Way Forward Technologies, and that we're sort of off and running with this bizarre case to start us in the pilot episode.
Yes, absolutely. And we're wondering, are things really truly connected, and will Dirk ever get paid? And it really is fun show. It has more of the first novel in it than the following ones do, but it really is like an original piece with a different plot to it.
Okay, great stuff for the first episode, and as you say, the mystery of what's going on, and also the mystery of whether anybody will actually ever get paid for what they've been doing.
Hi, this is Susan. Leave a message after the beep.
Pick up the phone. Pick up
Rule one of housebreaking. Never answer the phone when you're in the middle of a job.
Who is this?
Rule two. Preparation
is everything. Wear gloves, Macduff.
Your fingerprints will be all over the house.
How do you know my name? Who is this?
Come over to the window.
Rule three. Never show your face at the window.
So, we should look at our production notes, and of course we're talking about the late, great Douglas Adams, who we talked about in some detail all the way back in our Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy episodes, way back in British Invaders episodes 12 and 13. My first ones on the show, Brian.
Yes, that was a while ago now.
Yep.
And of course, Douglas Adams did some amazing writing in several media with the novels for Hitchhikers and with the radio and TV versions. The radio versions of Hitchhikers were the original productions. It was later adapted for novels and television and so on. Where Adams had also worked as a script editor on Doctor Who for a year and wrote a few stories for Doctor Who. And all of this sort of thing was happening at the same time. He was writing for Doctor Who, he was script editing, he was doing Hitchhikers for radio and TV and novels. It was all happening very close together. And as things progressed, later on, he wrote the Dirk Gently books, in particular the first book, Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency, which used quite a few elements from his Doctor Who script, Shada, which was partly filmed in 1979, but was never actually broadcast. It was not completed. So parts of that and parts of his other Doctor Who work were recycled and used in the first Dirk Gently novel, which came out in the late 1980s.
Yeah, that's right. Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency, the name of the first novel. And as you say, Brian, that was 1987. I think using, as you say, mixing up these ideas from Doctor Who, although I think it's probably fair to say that it's the Doctor Who elements that don't really make it through to the screen here. As you say, some of the other story elements do make it to the pilot, but some of the more, I suppose, shadow elements, they don't quite get through.
The one thing I noticed clearly from Shada was the idea of St. Sed's College, which was sort of a fictionalized version of St. John's, I think it was, at Cambridge.
Yes.
That sort of place and location and some of the ideas tied to it was something that Douglas Adams created for Shada and then carried through into the first Dirk Gently novel, and it then comes up in one of the Dirk Gently episodes on television as well.
Yes, because I think it is referred to that the university college that Gently and Richard Macduff and Susan all met at was St. Sed's at Cambridge. So, yeah, that is carried through.
Yes, and they go there in one of the episodes as well.
So that's the first novel from 1987. There was another novel, The Long Dark Tea Time of the Soul, which came out 1988. And we know that Douglas Adams was working on a third Dirk Gently novel when sadly he died in 2001, and that was to be The Salmon of Doubt.
Yes, the book The Salmon of Doubt is available. It was the posthumous Douglas Adams book, and it includes the partially complete novel, which would have been called The Salmon of Doubt, as one of the things. There are several sort of things that are not easily available in other places collected into that book. So there is a partially complete third Dirk Gently story that's available.
Okay, yeah, and as you say, that came out posthumously, didn't it?
Yes. The first book, Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency, was adapted as a stage play and a radio drama with Harry Enfield in the title role. Billy Boyd played Richard Macduff in that. And that was fairly successful. It was a relatively faithful and pretty good radio drama. And they followed up with a second radio drama of the second novel, The Long Dark Tea Time of the Soul. And there were apparently plans to do some radio version of The Salmon of Doubt, the story The Salmon of Doubt as well. And it's not clear exactly what happened to that, if they decided that they couldn't do it because there wasn't enough there, or if it was delayed, or what the situation with that was.
Okay, interesting. And yeah, it is quite fun to listen to the play versions on the radio, I believe, Brian.
Yes, they did a nice version with Harry Enfield and Billy Boyd there. It's quite fun. BBC and the Douglas Adams Estate announced in 2009 that there would be a television version of the Dirk Gently stories.
And of course, this was greeted with great enthusiasm by Douglas Adams fans. So it was handed over to Howard Overman to develop and write the pilot, who was at the time famous or well known for having done Misfits or developed Misfits for Channel 4. And he wrote the pilot, and although this was made for the BBC, it was, interestingly enough, produced by ITV Studios and the Welded Tandem production company. So, interestingly, when we were talking not that long ago about Dennis Potter wanting to see co-productions, and here we have an ITV company producing a BBC show.
Yes, that's right. You definitely have a lot more of that now. It was directed by Damon Thomas, who also directed The First Man in the Moon and Crooked House, both working with Mark Gatiss. So some, you know, interesting director there. It was filmed in Bristol, which gives a nice sort of regional look, and it's a little different from the typical London locations that we see a lot of the time.
Yes, I think that works well. We'll talk about that perhaps more in our next episode. But yes, getting away from London means some slightly different look, and Bristol seem to fit in quite well. It's got that sort of quirky feel that goes with this show. Also quirky, and I very much enjoyed it, is the theme music for Dirk Gently, composed by Daniel Pemberton, and it just seems to fit perfectly with this humorous detective show, and it's well worth going and checking out on YouTube if you can't remember the theme tune.
It is really quite fun, and it sets the tone for the show perfectly, I think.
And it sort of plays over a credit sequence, which has the cast and the production team's names appearing on a sort of version of Dirk Gently's famous whiteboard, which again we'll get back to at some point.
Oh yes. So the BBC commissioned another three episodes, a three-episode series one, in March 2011. And that was with most of the same production team. The writers were Overman again and Matt Jones, who had done Doctor Who and Torchwood work, and Jamie Matheson.
That's right, yes. As you say, we've got this sort of two-part production, because we had the pilot, as we said, in 2010, and then we've got the three other episodes, which would then be a broadcast in March 2012. Different writers. Tom Shankland takes over from Damon Thomas to direct the other three episodes, but otherwise I guess the cast certainly the same, and much of the production team must have been the same.
And it was broadcast in March 2012, with, unfortunately, the viewing figures diminished somewhat over that, and there were also sort of political and budget issues related to the BBC and related to BBC Four, so there was no second series.
Which is a shame. I mean, as you say, here we have a show going out on the BBC's digital channel, BBC Four, and although the pilot got reasonable figures, sadly, the other three episodes, the figures rather dropped off. Again, we'll talk about that more in our next episode.
Yeah, and also the fact that it was BBC Four, which tends to do sort of more sort of intellectual or artistic, you know, more sort of offbeat type shows, that plays into the situation quite a bit as well, I think.
Okay, let's talk about the availability. When we talk about how easy it is to see this show, then fortunately we're in a much better position, because the Region 2 DVD was out in March 2012 as well. contains the pilot and the following three episodes. Sadly, no extras, I think, Brian, just the episodes.
That's right.
But cheap and easy to get hold of here in the UK. On Amazon.co.uk, it's currently £7 and is currently also available on the Love Film rental site, but not on Netflix here in the UK. But you can find it in the UK iTunes store, where it's going currently for £1.89 an episode, or you can get all four for £6.99.
And over here in North America, there is a Region 1 DVD release from 2013. A little more expensive. It's about $34 on Amazon.com. In the States, Amazon has it on Amazon Instant for viewing online as well at $6 an episode or $17 for all four episodes. And it's about $40 on Amazon.ca.
Okay, so that's the DVD version. Obviously, the original books by Douglas Adams are all still readily available. They're available as ebooks as well, and they're also available in an audiobook format. Although, if you're after the original Douglas Adams readings, some of those can be a little difficult to track down, I believe, Brian.
Yes. Actually, audiobooks for the Dirk Gently books are difficult to find in general. There was an abridged version read by Douglas Adams, and there's also a complete version by Douglas Adams, and one that has both novels in a complete reading. And those are rather difficult to find. You can find them on cassette sometimes. The second novel, I think, is easier to find online as an audiobook.
Oh, okay.
The radio adaptations are also available. You can get those online from AudioGo. And they are, you know, quite easy to find and quite inexpensive as well. So next time, we will look at the other three episodes, the Series 1 episodes.
Yes, that's right. We've got three more to get to. We've got to look at which ideas from the Douglas Adams books made it up on screen and why perhaps these are sort of inspired by rather than adaptations of his novels, I think.
Yes, absolutely. And we'll talk a little bit about why it didn't continue as well.
Plus, we'll get to our own reviews and maybe even some feedback. So if you want to contact us, how can they get hold of us, Brian?
You can reach us at BritishInvaders@gmail.com. You can also find us at BritishInvaders.com. We are on the Geek Culture Network, so if you go to thegeekculturenetwork.com, you can find us there. And if you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you will find our Facebook group, and we have some fun discussion going on there related to all sorts of British shows.
Or you can live stream us on the Voice of Geek streaming radio, where we go out on Monday and Tuesdays on vognetwork.com.
Yes, and welcome to all Vogons. So thank you for listening, and this is Brian from Canada, signing off.
Yes, thank you very much, and until our next episode, this is Eamon in England also, signing off.